1-800-387-3637.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This is a program where we endeavor to expose the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes. Every day, of course, there is far more news that needs to be exposed than there is time to do so. So instead of merely presenting what the headline spokespeople say is happening, we're going to endeavor to explain why these things are occurring and what they ultimately mean to you and your family, to even to predict where they are leading us in this world. Then during our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms through His Torah, which means teaching. If you're rational, this will be the best part of today's program. As always, if you wish to join this discussion, you're encouraged to call 877-376-4545. Also, for anyone seeking verification to anything they're here on this program, you can go to introtogod.org or yatayah.com, even prophetofdoom.net, or questioningpaul.com, and on those sites you will find ample proof for every statement that you are going to hear today and any day on this program. Last night, for those who weren't watching the baseball games or the NFL football game, there was a debate held between the current vice president and a man seeking the office of vice president. Now, mind you, for most Americans, they were watching the various games, because the vice presidential job is less vital to the nation's health and economic prosperity than that of the assistant manager at your neighborhood McDonald's. But last night they demonstrated something quite menacing. You see, it was an end to civility. Last night, style overwhelmed content. We found that belief trumps evidence. All of this, of course, is the genius of PC. Now, genius not in a positive way. Political correctness has sought to take the nation, in fact people around the world, down to the place where they are rendered as incapable of reason as are most religious individuals. You see, the average religious individual, poisoned by belief and faith, are incapable of considering evidence and of being rational. So to dumb the average person down so they would go along as opposed to rebel, those who advocate political correctness, which is the replacement moral code for socialist secular humanism, came up with this idea called political correctness, where it is inappropriate to be judgmental, to exercise good judgment, to be rational and therefore discerning is a crime. And so last night we witnessed the consequence of all of that. U.S. Vice President, this is from Reuters, Joe Biden leaped to the attack against the Republican challenger Paul Ryan in a lively debate on Thursday, aggressively defending Obama administration's economic and foreign policies to try to regain the momentum in the White House race. Well, of course, none of that is true. He leaped to the attack, if you consider laughing, mocking, interrupting, snickering, and jeering as a attack. And if you consider those kinds of responses a lively debate, well, then I would encourage you to go get your eyes and ears checked. Or perhaps you have checked out your brain. That was not a debate last night. The two candidates actually agreed on most everything. They only differed in style. And the style of the current vice president was revolting. Rather than allow his opponent to speak, he was constantly interrupting. And rather than holding him accountable and saying, you know, this is rude. I mean, if you are trying to demonstrate how rude you can be, how inappropriate you can be, how much you are laughing at the issues of our day, then you're doing a great job of proving that. Grow up. Act responsible. This is a stage for the exchange of ideas, not for one person to laugh and mock the other. It was reprehensible. And yet the majority of those who are pundits on such things consider the debate either a draw or a win by the White House. Biden was looking for a Democratic rebound, of course, after Barack Obama's devastatingly disappointing performance last week. But the younger and inexperienced Ryan held his own in a series of testy exchanges, the Reuters report says. Actually, what Ryan did is allow an egomaniac with a bad attitude to roll right over him, to control the so-called debate by interrupting constantly. He dominated the evening in an awful way and was allowed to do so. The only thing that was accomplished last night was to prove that there is essentially no difference whatsoever between Republican and Democratic candidates. It's a point that Larry, our good friend from Florida, makes often. They are the same coin, just different sides. This was all style, no substance. With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey, Biden said. It was his most memorable line of the night when Ryan accused the White House of projecting an image of American weakness to the world. And by the way, that is a bunch of malarkey. The opposite is true. Projecting our military superiority is what is making America weak. It's what is causing us to be disrespected around the world. You know, the only point where there's two points in this whole debate that clashed meaningfully. One was where Ryan was pressing for more military spending, which is devastatingly destructive to the United States. We are bankrupting this country because we outspend the rest of the world combined on the military. You could cut the U.S. military by 90% and we'd still have the dominant military in the world. And Biden pointed out that these quote-unquote devastating cuts that are going to befall the military are the direct result of Republicans saying, all right, you want to lift the debt ceiling? Then this is what you get, an automatic cut of the Defense Department, should we not come to an agreement as to how to rein in the ever-growing national deficit. The very thing that the Republicans are promoting, which is to increase the size of the Defense Department, is the very thing that is making America weak. Every time we project a force, we are making ourselves more vulnerable. We're making ourselves the mockery of the world. We're disrespected around the world. Because every time we engage in a country, we make a bad situation worse. That's what happened in Afghanistan. That's what happened in Iraq. In fact, the very reason that Iran is on the cusp of having a nuclear bomb is because we invaded Iraq, gave Iran their mortal enemy, and therefore enabled them to complete their weapons program. We have our friend Larry on the line. Larry, what say you about the debate of style over substance?
I say it's the debate that never happened, or maybe that we could call it the pretend debate. Yeah. See, there's a big reason the country's in the shape it's in today. You know, besides the fact that God, they don't even know his name, Yahweh, will never bless a country that runs around with pagan ideas. Here's the other reason. Politicians are never held accountable. You know, by way of example, many of us know about Fast and Furious.
Right.
Yet the border remains open. Mm-hmm. We know that GM moved its operation to China, or a large percentage of it, and they did so with $21 billion taxpayer dollars. You know, these are just two of hundreds of scandals that break throughout a week.
Yeah, you're talking about two things that
question,
are...
And here, I want to get to this point. The best question the moderator of that debate could come up with is the same tired-ass question, how do you plan to put Americans back to work? Are you kidding? Government doesn't put Americans to work. They steal from the working Americans. How will you save Medicare? And then listen to both sides lie about a system that is socialist in nature and designed to fail and rob us. Yet any important question that could serve to hold any political actor to any standard was never asked. And that's why the government grows and grows. And I might have asked Biden, you know, why did the government order 21,000 unmanned drones to watch Americans? Why do we need additional sales taxes on homes in Obamacare if Obamacare is going to save us all tons of money? I mean, why do you have to have a cash infusion into a system that was designed to save you tons of money?
Right. Why are there 13 new taxes associated with
it? It's a debate that never happened. It's what you call, in your book, the media darlings working with the political actors.
Yeah.
And that's what goes on. And until somebody gets these guys up there and asks them straight, hard questions just like this, hey, it's going to keep going on.
Well, actually, if you were to ask them straight, hard questions, they wouldn't answer them. They've all been prepped.
They'd fall to pieces.
Yeah, they've all been prepped to say what they want to say, regardless of what the question. They have their talking points, and that's about as deep as it goes. You know, there were only the two issues that there was any debate on. One of them, both parties are devastatingly wrong. This current administration tried the surge in Afghanistan, got 1,000 Americans killed, and made a bad situation even worse through its surge. It had absolutely no positive effect, and it was only negative, and yet they're still going to stay in Afghanistan two more years.
There's no point in being there unless you're guarding and growing opium fields,
which is exactly what
the fella, what was his name? He was the professional.
Yeah, we're breaking up, Larry. But the reality is that there is no value in staying in Afghanistan. There was no value in invading Afghanistan. Only bad things happen. The same thing was true with Iraq. It is time we face the music and realize that our projection of a force is destroying America. Rather than protecting the country, it is making it ever more vulnerable. I am Yad. Hello and welcome back to Shattering This. We were discussing the debate that wasn't last night between the two vice presidential candidates. News surveys of undecided voters by CBS showed that Biden was the winner by 50% to 31%. And a CNN poll of debate watchers scored Ryan the victor by 48 to 44%, which tells you there is absolutely no scientific reliability to polling. And if, as I said before, if you saw a winner in that contest, you need to get your eyes and ears checked. The New York Times, in its editorial section, buried, had a fairly accurate assessment of the spectacle that occurred last night. They wrote, from Libya and Iran to Afghanistan and Syria, Mr. Ryan offered proposals that differed from those of Mr. Obama in nuance rather than substance. Defending Mr. Obama's record, Vice President Joseph Biden repeatedly demanded that Mr. Ryan and his running mate, Mitt Romney, explain what they would do differently. Twice he criticized Mr. Ryan for loose talk about how to stop Iran from producing a nuclear weapon and about how to best aid the rebels in Syria. Quote, there is nothing they say we should do than we have done. Nothing. Mr. Biden said after Mr. Ryan criticized the administration's pressure campaign against Iran for not slowing Tehran from its pursuit of a nuclear weapon. Well, here's the truth. The reason that Tehran is on the cusp of having a nuclear weapon and there is simple. We invaded Iraq not once but twice. We turned Iran's enemy into Iran West. That was the most stupid, most suicidal, most idiotic, most just asinine decision that's ever been made by a president of the United States, and it was made by George W. Bush.
Hey, Yada, do you think
yes.
it's really that stupid?
I mean, I spent a lot of time with George W. Bush. I do think he was that stupid. Yeah, I do. Do I think George W. Bush was evil? Absolutely. Yeah, I think he was that dumb. Do I think that George W. Bush was evil? You betcha. I think that he was an extraordinarily evil individual. But stupid? Yeah, he was stupid. All through his life, all you have is one instance of another of failure and stupidity. The very fact that he was elected president not once but twice speaks volumes of the about the American electorate and the fact that they just don't know enough to be able to cast votes. There's lots of reasons that democracy fails, and not that America was supposed to be a democracy. We were supposed to be a republic, but chief among them is the lack of rational thought and information amongst the electorate. The people who are voting have no business voting. They don't know what they're voting for, and so we elect really immoral men, and it's the bane of our system. I suppose that if you were
a football game.
Well, yeah, they're watching a football game because the politics is so revolting. I mean, how can you blame them? I mean, if you that debate was so annoying last night, it's hard to blame them.
It almost put me to sleep. Well, you know, when I get a question like, "And how did your team plan to save Medicare?" I mean, boy, I wanted to jump up then and go, "Wow, what an incredible question!" I mean, do they go back 20 years and dig up the same question to run every 4 years at these guys, or what?
Yeah, you know, the reality is that Medicare should not and cannot be saved. Social Security should not and cannot be saved. But both parties will promise to save them when, in fact, they're immoral Ponzi schemes. These are Ponzi schemes that have parents charging their children and their grandchildren for their own well-being. They're not providing for themselves. And somebody will say, "Oh, yeah, I paid into Social Security." The money you paid in was already lavished on your generation. That money wasn't squirreled away in some trust fund. That money was spent on services for your generation in the year that you paid the money in. You got the benefit. If you want to call government services a benefit, you got the benefit. Now, when you take a draw on Social Security, you're taking it from your children and your children's children. It is a revolting pyramid scheme.
That's the story we always hear, your children and your children's children. I don't believe they can. I'll be honest with you. I would be amazed if they could get past the next 6 or 7 years. I don't believe they can, mathematically.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, America is in a position because of fiat money that so long as they can convince Americans to put faith in that which is actually a liability, they can continue to push the ball down the road. Unfortunately, as they do so, all they're doing is making certain that the fall is more calamitous when it actually occurs. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We are considering the fallout of the presidential non-debate last night. In one of the two issues that they actually sparred on, it was a shame to see that Ryan couldn't hold Biden accountable. You see, Ryan took offense when the story was presented regarding the attack that killed the U.S. ambassador in Libya. The White House had been informed within an hour of the attack, that the attack had been perpetrated by a by Ansar Sharia, an Islamic fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization that had planned the attack months in advance, and that the attack had absolutely nothing to do with the film Innocence of Muslims. And yet the White House, after receiving that intelligence report, disregarded it and perpetrated the lie that the attack was a protest and a response to the film. And it continued to do so for days, even though the White House had received information that very instant that this was not the case. And it continued to lie about it. It has never accepted responsibility for deliberately misleading the American people on the cause of that attack. Now, the reason, of course, is because this administration decided that it would aid and abet the Libyan terrorists who revolted against their government. And because we sided with evil and provided evil with weapons, what we found is that evil bit us. The very weapons that we supplied to the Mujahideen, to the jihadists who rioted and took over that country over force of arms, killed our ambassador. That's what happened. We embraced the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and what do? They go riot and attack the U.S. embassy. That's what happens. When you side with evil, that's what happens. And yet, Ryan couldn't pin Biden down. Biden said, oh no, that's not what happened at all. We disclosed the information that was provided by the intelligence agencies. And he said that he placed the responsibility for the changing narrative squarely on those intelligence agencies. It's an outright lie. The agencies came forth with the story immediately and said, this is what happened. They told the White House immediately that it had been a planned event by Ansar Sharia. But the White House chose to perpetrate a lie instead, because they wanted American people to think that if you tell the truth about Islam, that you are bringing the wrath of Muslims on your country. That the problem was that someone dared to make a film that mocked Muhammad, and that was the cause for this tragedy, as opposed to America's supporting terrorist in Libya. Reuters said this in a separate article. So this is the third news source that we're considering. First was BBC. When it was Ryan's turn to speak, Biden laughed. He scoffed and he interrupted. The antics were sure to bolster Biden's reputation as a slightly unhinged gaffe machine and provide fodder for late-night television satirists. The happiest people in the country after this debate are going to be the writers at Saturday Night Live. Sure enough, the Republican National Committee quickly released an online compilation of Biden's smirks called Laughing at the Issues. But Ryan let such interruptions go largely unchallenged, a decision that let Biden take command of the debate, said Kathleen Olson, communications professor at the University of Wisconsin. I think it was a dominance move, and he got away with it. We can therefore look at what Biden employed tonight as a preview of what Obama's going to do next week. That's a sad commentary, my friend Larry, that being a jerk in a public setting as the Vice President of the United States is what prevails in the mindsets of the American people. Let's jeer.
Work, though. I mean, his partner is a complete smartass.
Yes.
Obama is a smartass.
Oh, yeah, look at Obama at the last debate. All he ever did was look down at the ground and smirk like, you know, I don't want to be here. I don't even want to breathe the same air as this man. What right does this man have to criticize me? I mean, he was as angry and as mean-spirited as a person can get. And so his response, he tells the media, you know, I need to be more aggressive against him next time.
Well, I mean, if that's his position, let him do it. I don't think. Look, there's been really five or six major pathetic presidents. If we look back down the line, I mean, people that probably should have, you know, been garbage men for a living or possibly handed out hamburgers at McDonald's, which, believe me, I have more respect for the people that do that for the most part. But having said that, they're just really incapable people that happen to be tied in with the right club, and they've made the right decisions as to who they've paid off and who they've threatened and who they've gotten dirt on and risen to the top.
And, well, you look at an Arkansas. Right. You look at an Arkansas governor who did a lousy job of governor of Arkansas, and he becomes a two-term president of the United States.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, he thinks that the way to use the Oval Office is to have sex with a 20-year-old intern. I mean,
sure.
What is wrong with these people? I mean, he thinks now that he's a bastion of ethics and morality.
Well, here's a guy that came into the office, and then the whole time he was in the office, if I'm not mistaken, all he did was whine about how little money he had. He didn't have any money. It went on and on and on. And today, now still, he's never held a job, as far as anybody knows.
No.
In the private sector.
Just like Obama, never held a job in the private sector.
And his stated worth is $130 million, which means he's worth a lot more than that.
Yep, it's the job that you spend $1 billion pursuing that only pays $400,000, but you leave office as a multimillionaire. Tells you a lot about the American system.
It does, doesn't it? And what else it tells us a lot about is the people that elect them.
Yeah. Well, speaking of broken systems and broken judgments, this morning we learned that the European Union won the Nobel Peace Prize Friday for promoting peace, democracy, and human rights in Europe. Now, imagine this. They have bankrupted the continent. They have places like Greece that have now hit records of 25% unemployment. There are riots in Greece and Italy and Portugal and Spain and in Northern Ireland. All over the fact that this European financial union has bankrupted these countries by ever-growing deficits to the point where their countries, one after another, is going bankrupt. And they reward that with their peace prize. I mean, I guess nothing says peace like a good riot for people that have nothing to lose because they're out of work. Using that mentality, you know, can you imagine what's going to happen in the United States when we suffer the same consequence as is being suffered now in Greece? Because our situation in the United States is almost as bad as Greece's.
Oh, it's going to be rough. There'll be riots in the street, food riots, burning, destruction.
Yeah. Here in Athens, Greece, this is their line. Is this a joke? I asked one protester. It's the last thing I would expect. It mocks us and everything we are going through right now, and it's going to infuriate people. In Spain, I don't see the logic in the EU getting this prize. They can't agree among themselves, and they're bankrupting the entire continent. Well, you want to see people riot. What happens that inspires riots more than anything is people without hope. When people lose hope, they have nothing else to lose, and they will riot. That's the kind of gang mentality that you'll see in a hopeless country. It's what caused those four young Africans to be burned alive in Nigeria. It's what causes the uprisings that you're seeing now in Syria. People without hope will sacrifice everything to rise up against whoever they think is holding them down. And it's the very thing that's going to lead to the very oppressive and dictatorial New World Order that's on our horizon. This is not a sign of peace. It's a sign of total depravity. Speaking of depravity.
I agree. It's like giving, say, it's like me making up a story where, as an example, that I say that the globe is getting warmer and warmer and warmer. And I tell you that you have to go live in a tent somewhere, you know, so you don't leave a carbon footprint. And I live in a 30,000 square foot mansion and fly planes around and tell you to do this, and I win a peace prize.
Not to mention the fact that the Earth's temperature has not shown signs of temperature rising. But beyond all of that, we're Mitt Romney. You may have overheard his speech, which he made, I believe, at the Virginia Military Institute. This was the highlight of his speech. It was. It shows you why you can't side with either of these two idiots. This is his statement. I will work with our partners to identify and organize those members of the opposition, he's speaking now of Syria, who share our values and ensure they obtain the arms they need to defeat Assad's tanks, helicopters, and fighter jets. Now, what kind of weapon would you need to defeat a tank, a helicopter, and fighter jets? They're called missiles.
Yeah,
that's what they're called.
Missiles.
Yeah, they're called missiles. That's what we gave the Taliban and Al Qaeda in Afghanistan when Jimmy Carter and Zbigniew Brzezinski thought it would be a good idea for them to fight this USSR's tanks, helicopters, and fighter jets. And of course, they turned those missiles against us and have brought down American helicopters now that we've been stupid enough to invade and attack our former ally. Now, here's the biggest stupidity of all this is not equipping the Mujahideen with missiles, which they will use to bring down civilian airplanes, thinking they're doing a great jihad against the infidels. That's not the stupidity. I want you to find someone in the opposition in Syria who shares American values. I want you to find someone. I would give you 1,000 people to go do a search, which, by the way, they can't do because both sides would kill them, and 1,000 years to conduct your search, of which we don't have, and they wouldn't find anyone, much less one of the groups that is armed in resistance that shares our values. They're Islamic jihadists. They share the values of Islam, which are the antithesis of Judeo-Christianity. Literally the antithesis. How can you say, I want to find someone who shares our values? There are none in the Islamic world. Welcome back to the final news segment of the Shattering Myths program. Today, what we're talking about is the utter stupidity of Mitt Romney saying that he's going to identify those members of the opposition who share our values and ensure they obtain the arms they need to defeat Assad's tanks, helicopters, and fighter jets. Now, if you read that statement, what I said is accurate, that I could give you a million years and a million people and you would never find a member of the opposition that share our values. But if you take out the word opposition, then what I said was untrue. There's about 10% of the population of Syria that share very similar values to most Americans. They're Roman Catholics. And so the Roman Catholics in Syria do share American values, but only one problem. The Roman Catholics in Syria are uniformly behind Assad. They aren't members of the opposition. You see, the Syrian Christians recognize the same thing that the Iraqi Christians recognized. And that is that if this country is turned over to the fundamentalist Mujahideen and jihadists who are rebelling against Assad, that they're as good as dead. Just like when the Muslim Brotherhood took over Egypt, it was a death note for those Copt Christians who have survived up to this point. In Iraq, the population was about 2% Christian. Well, almost all of them are dead after the American invasion and turning that country over to the fundamentalist Shiite Muslims from Tehran. The same thing is true in Syria. The Christians are not part of the opposition. Those who share our values recognize that the opposition will kill them. will murder them in mass, will steal everything they have, will rape their women, will enslave their children, and will steal their property. You know, open your eyes. It is obvious as to what's happening. It's obvious who is rebelling. It's obvious that the Arab Spring is nothing more than an Islamic reformation, and there are no good values who hold any values that Americans would dear and would view as being appropriate. As for those statements, the UN immediately responded and said that they were deeply concerned about the continued flow of arms to both sides. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not create peace through weaponry. That is a myth. I urge those countries.
You create money. You create a good cash flow stream.
Yeah, you do. You know, that's what America exports today is weapons. And it's sad. We've become really good at one thing. Killing. Destroying. So it is sad. And we become the primary weapon merchants of the world. We make things that blow things up and kill people. And we're really good at it. Mr. Romney said that the U.S. was missing a historic opportunity to win new friends who share our values in the Middle East. So it's the question with George W. Bush. Is he stupid or is he lying? Which one is it?
I don't think
he's stupid. Is he stupid? Okay, then he's lying. If he's not stupid, then he knows that statement is a lie. That we do not have friends and we are not going to make friends in the Islamic world who share our values. The only country in the Islamic world that shares our values is already a friend. Lord knows why. Israel. Now, speaking in Virginia, he lambasted the White House over the attack on Libya, and he was right in doing so. Turns out that not only did the White House know that it was a planned terrorist attack by Ansar Sharia, the Friends of Sharia Law. We've talked about Sharia Law on this program. It is the antithesis of everything good because it's based on the nastiest man who ever lived, Muhammad. But it's also been determined that the State Department and this administration knew that the ambassador in Libya had routinely asked for more staff. He says, I know that we're getting intelligence that says that we are vulnerable. We need more security here. We need Marines. You need to protect this embassy or we're extraordinarily vulnerable. There's planned attacks against us. And the State Department said, nope, not going to do it. In fact, we're going to diminish your security detachment. Also on this program, I praised the ambassador who was killed for having returned to the embassy to try to help out members of his staff. That was not true. He was in the embassy. He was shepherded away to what was supposed to be a safe location, but because of smoke inhalation, he was forced to leave that location. He did not die the death of a courageous man trying to protect his staff, but he should not have been killed. He was killed as a result of the United States aiding and abetting the fundamentalist Muslims who took over that country from what was a secular dictator. I am Yana. This is Shattering Myths.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research. In July, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact.